Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
You're probably a golf guy, right? You know golf?
I'm a tennis guy, not a golf guy.
I'm a tennis guy, too. I always like to have the tennis on in the studio because there are matches that go on worldwide.
At Monte Carlo quarterfinals are on right now, Dave. Come on.
Rublev and Struff. Djokovic lost to Musetti yesterday.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Name your favorite dinosaur. 1, 2, 3.
Velociraptor.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You laugh all you want. It's DiPietro and Rothenberg. Dan Grossi in for Rick today. But the fact that we have this vast tennis knowledge is really, it's remarkable, Dan.
Remarkable. It's almost intimidating, isn't it?
I think so. I think they're probably
intimidating to the tennis masses.
I think there are probably tennis fans out there listening to this, like, wow, this is my new favorite show.
Where can I go?
Where can I go
to
break down
talk?
The Monte Carlo Masters 1000 event?
By the way, is there any more scenic, picturesque court in the world than the Monte Carlo Masters?
No,
overlooking the water.
No, guys,
that's a high tax bracket, by the way.
You need to turn on the tennis channel. Because the court is right there on the water. It is one of the most gorgeous scenes you could ever possibly picture in your life.
It's amazing.
It's gorgeous is what it is. All right. So here's my Knicks question for you. By the way, Medvedev and Runa is coming up next, I believe.
Holger Runa likes to talk a big game, that kid.
you really? I don't find many that can talk tennis with me.
Well, remember last year, Holger Runa... Basically, he did some interview internationally or something, and he's only, what, 19, I think, or something
kid.
Like
yep.
that? Yeah, he's like, Federer never was winning the things I won when he was 19. It's like, all right, buddy, pump the brakes.
Yeah, I don't pump see Federer's kind of resume in your future. But here is the question. So we talked about Julius Randle, and you said, you know, if he's not good, then people are going to get angry at him like they did last, you know, two postseasons ago. But so there's two of the three things are huge knocks against him. One, he can't play, and then you'll hear, so the guy's available every game, and then when it comes to the most important games, can't play. One good goes out there, plays really well, or another bad is, goes, and this is the worst-case scenario, does play, forces himself to play, either is just healthy enough to play or wills himself to play and plays at a very low level. That, to me, by far, is the worst of the three for Julius Randle.
I agree. And, you know, is there a way for him to go out there? If he's going to try to give it a go, like I used the term decoy in the last hour, could he go out there and just facilitate, you know, still find a way to contribute and not just chuck up shots that aren't going in because he feels he has to? Right. All right. So I'll turn it around and I'll ask you this question. Let's say he either doesn't play or he's not going to get extended minutes on the court. If you're Tom Thibodeau, and remember, Knicks are supposed to have a coaching edge in this series. Tom Thibodeau's resume is a heck of a lot deeper than J.B. Bickerstaff, right? So, I mean, even if he doesn't have all of his chess pieces, he should still be able to configure a way to put his team in a situation to maybe win a couple of games in this series. What do you do lineup-wise if you don't have Randle? Do you go small? Do you play Josh Hart extended minutes at the four? Remember, he can rebound as well as any guard that there is in the league. Or do you just roll with Obi and play him, you know, 30-plus minutes a game? Like, how do you do this?
I think you kind of wait and see now, right? I mean, I think you probably start the game with Obi, and you see what he gives you. If he's listen, he's athletic as anybody in the NBA. He can get up and down the court beautifully, and I think his game has progressed offensively a bit. And you see what, you know. But again, this is a different animal. This is not a regular season Tuesday night game in Cleveland where, you know, let's be honest, the regular season in the NBA is a lot of nobody cares. That's not where we are. We are in it's now ratcheted up. I mean, Cleveland is yearning to win because they haven't won anything without LeBron in God knows how long. And the Knicks are yearning to win as well. So I don't think I can sit here and give you an answer on what's the formula, because I think, like you mentioned, the coaching edge, I think that's something you kind of figure out on the fly. Is Toppin capable of playing? If not, does Josh Hart get more minutes? Like, what exactly do you do if you're Tom Thibodeau?
Josh Hart, I love Josh Hart.
I don't know how you couldn't love Josh Hart.
Josh Hart is the perfect player for this team. Like, I mean, he fits New York. He fits this team to a T. Hopefully he's a member of this team next year. But that being said, I think that I'll tell you another guy that's going to have to probably, you're going to have to unglue him from the bench, and that's Jericho Sims. Right? You got to let him go in there, give you some minutes, because Jericho Sims goes through these droughts to where he's forgotten man. Like when there's no Mitchell Robinson, he steps in and he starts. And then when Mitchell Robinson comes back, he's out of the rotation altogether. Well, if you don't have Julius Randle, Jericho's got to get in there and give you maybe 10, 15 minutes a game here. You know, because Cleveland's got some size down low. They're two bigs.
Sure,
right? I mean, Allen, Mobley, like they've got some dudes down. Both of these teams, they've got rim protectors. This one could be a tussle down low, which I think is kind of cool, actually, for, you know, playoff basketball, kind of old school. But it's going to take every hand on deck, I guess, save for, you know, Derrick Rose and Evan Fournier, who probably won't factor into the series at all.
Well, I would agree with that. But I think Sims, listen, you know what you get with Sims. He's not going to go out there and score. He's going to go out there, he's going to defend, he's going to block shots, he's going to protect the rim, and he's going to rebound the basketball. And there's no reason you couldn't get 8, 10, 12, 14 minutes a game from him.
I agree, but unfortunately, he doesn't get those minutes consistently even during the regular season. So that's my only concern is now if you're going to throw those on him in the playoffs, biggest minutes he's ever played in his young career, I always want to see how a guy's going to be able to respond from that, and this might be a little tricky for him. We'll see.
This portion of the show, driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast, huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. Let's get to some of the Knicks calls. The people are there. Jose in Brooklyn. Jose, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Dan and Dan. How's it going?
I'm so now you go from Rick and Dave.
I'm joking with you. I'm joking.
Dan and Dan.
Do you believe he said that, Dan?
I'm messing with you.
I cannot, Dan. I find that very hard to believe.
Oh, Dan.
I'm messing with you, Mr. Rosenberg. I haven't heard from you in a while, and it's been a while since I've called in the morning. But I wanted to get my Nick call. Thank you for taking my call. And I'm glad that you guys did switch it back to Randle, because I think he is our ultimate X factor in this matchup. I felt like when people talked about Cleveland size, I felt very good about the matchup with Randle kind of at least being athletic and being able to go out there and out get them in on a couple rebounds in critical situations. Now, with him being hurt and all of this stuff with OB possibly getting 35 minutes, I'm kind of a little now concerned right now, because I think that without Randle, we definitely need him to step up and show it, because like you said, Dave, it's going to be a very long summer, because Knicks fans are not going to forget that the postseason stretches if he kind of, you know, has a demanding the ball and putting the ball, stopping the ball movement, and then still jacking up shots, and it looks like Atlanta. It's going to be a horrible show
people
for him.
Will lose their minds. Thanks for the call, Jose. We appreciate it. But here's the thing. Can he transform his game where he can look inwards and say, I can't do what I normally do. So I'm gonna defend and I'm gonna rebound, and when I have an open look, I'm gonna take it, but it's not gonna be, you know, pound the ball down low to me and let me dribble for 9 seconds and then pass it over 3 seconds on the shot clock or hoist it up. That to me is the big question. Can he kind of change his game to work with what he's capable of doing right now?
It's going to be tough, right? It's just, I don't know if he has it in him. And look, you don't want to think in these terms, but let's say the Knicks don't win the series. If Randle is less than 100%, it almost gives them a little bit of, I mean, not that they want it, but it would almost give them that built-in excuse as to, oh, well, they didn't have their best player. He was injured. He was less than 100%. And that's why you can't even kill Randle. if he underperforms in this series, because he's clearly not 100% in the way that you hope he would be going into the playoffs.
Telling you, though, he will get crushed. I agree with you. If he goes out there and plays like garbage, he will still get crushed.
Well, if he plays and to the point where people are watching him and think that he's doing it selfishly, like, oh, he's clearly not 100%. Why is he taking so many shots? It's hurting the team, blah, blah, blah. If you get 4, 5, 6 games of that, then I'm with you. Then it's all bets are off all summer long. But I don't want to hear that all summer. You don't want to hear that all summer. You know what, Dave? I would rather hear, if the Knicks don't win this series, I would rather hear from angry fans that they should have pulled the trigger on the Donovan Mitchell trade last summer, or else they wouldn't be in this situation right now. Like, I would rather hear that take as opposed to Julius Randle being the one that blew the whole thing up for them.
Oh, you're going to hear that take. I mean,
oh, you're going to hear everything.
There's so many. The only way that you hear nothing is if the Knicks win this series. That's the only way. If the Knicks win this series and they go on and they face Milwaukee and they lose in 5 games, I think everybody will put a bow on this and say, great success. If he can't play, you're going to have the Knicks fans complain and say, we didn't win because he was injured. If he plays and he stinks, he'll get crushed and the Knicks fans will be livid. If he plays and he plays well and the Knicks lose this series because Donovan Mitchell is really good, that'll be the narrative. The only way the Knicks get out of town and out of Dodge with any sense of people being happy is if they go out there and win this series. And you know why? Because I really believe, and I think this also, that the Knicks can win this series.
Can win this series, yes, with a less than 100% Julius Randle?
I don't know about that. No, I don't know about that.
Let me ask you this. You said successful season, okay? Can the Knicks lose this series in any way, shape, or form, and you look back on the year in its entirety and say that it was successful,
yes,
if they lose this series?
Yeah, 100%.
How do they have to lose the series? Like, what qualifies for you?
I have to get to the end of the series and say, boy, that was a hell of a game. You know what it has to be like? It has to be like...
Does it have to be 7? Could they lose in 6 and you say, you know what? Good series. They weren't the better team and it was a great season. Can that happen?
Possibly, but now you have me losing at home, which I find to be really distressing. You know? It can't be... I don't know that I can have it end in 5, which I imagine would be, you know, quick.
Well, that would be like 2 years ago.
Right. But that series was a debacle. And
If you lose 4 heartbreakers and go out in 5, right, I still think that would sting. It would tarnish something from this season.
Oh, I think so, too. I think, listen, I can't define it, but I think it's kind of, I'll know it when I see it. The season has to end, and you have to say, boy, you know what? It was a hell of a series. That was a terrific series.
Well, isn't this almost a little bit like how the 49ers rationalized their season? Right, I mean, they got to the NFC Championship game and they lost 2 quarterbacks in the game where they had no chance to then win.
You couldn't possibly win the game.
Right.
That day after, and RJ is a huge Niners fan, of course, right, he was there, and I felt so badly for him. You can be angry because you lost. You can't be angry at how you lost. You can't be angry if you're losing a game without a quarterback.
Well, right, that's what I mean. So if you have no Julius Randle or a severely compromised Julius Randle, I think you have to interpret this series differently. And therefore, it makes the regular season that much more satisfying, I think, if you're a Knicks fan.
But I think this regular season is satisfying regardless.
All right, let me throw another one at you.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is also going to be a big part of it. We touched on it already. What if Mitchell just absolutely goes off in this series? What if he averages like between 30 and 35?
And the Cavs win the series going away?
Yes.
That would be difficult to deal with. And not only for, like, I think that is the button that sets the Knicks fan off. You know, I think that they could, if Mitchell's not great and, you know, other players produce on Cleveland, I think the Knicks fan's like, you know what, they're a little better, Randle was compromised, I can deal with it. I think if Donovan Mitchell goes out there and lights the world on fire and Cleveland has their way with the Knicks, I think that would be the worst recipe of all of it for this team.
I'm with you. Because then it's easily going to keep coming back to last summer. That's all we're going to hear about. They should have traded for Mitchell. They should have traded for Mitchell. Because if he goes out there, and look, we already think he's the best player in the series.
Right.
But despite all the good that Brunson's done this year, and he has been, I've said Jalen Brunson to me might go down as one of the best free agent signings, not just for the Knicks, in the history of our city. history of our city sports. That's the potential, I think, of Brunson's impact on this team. If Mitchell completely puts a stamp on this series, it's almost like nothing happened in some people's minds this year. It was almost like
That's unfair. And I'll tell you why. Because 2 years ago, I mean, it went south in a hurry. The postseason was awful. The next year was horrendous. I would be very hard-pressed to think that you're going to follow up this season with a year like you had 2 years ago. The Knicks are a better team, right? They are. Brunson's terrific, and Randall's playing at a very high level, and Robinson is good, and Grimes should get better, and McBride should get better, and quickly, and top. And, like, this is a team, the future is bright, and they do have a ton of draft equity. So I don't think it's apples to apples, but yes, if Mitchell goes out there and puts his team on his shoulders and they dominate and they win convincingly, I think that'll be the narrative all offseason.
There's another name we haven't really spent a lot of time talking about who has an opportunity to not put a stamp on the series, but almost serve as kind of like a coming out party for him on the big stage, and he's shown glimpses of it here over the last few weeks. How about Quentin Grimes?
He's turned into a terrific defender.
Right?
He's an excellent outside shooter, and now he's kind of transformed his game to where he can take the ball to the basket as well.
If you have a diminished Randall, and this is a guy who has a handful of 20-plus point games in his arsenal here over the last few weeks, he's maybe another player that could sneakily contribute offensively, and you never know. Let Cleveland sleep on a guy like that to where he can maybe surprise and fill up some points when you need him the most.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, you heard that promo about Don LaGreca. I have a horrendously embarrassing promo on about how I'm like the number two guy on any show. I'm just like that guy. Would you like a promo? I'd take mine out of the rotation and give you a promo.
I wouldn't say no to the promo. I don't know why there isn't one already, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, I like that. Let's drum up some issues between you and management. So you think...
There's no issues.
No. Yeah. That's clearly it. You have issues, and I think we should hash them out right now. RJ, should we hash out the issues right now?
Oh, you've cracked the door open.
Okay. You're the door open.
Here
right.
Comes Dave with his battering ram.
Oh, okay. Now, Dan with us here.
We're at the net right now, and Dave's got his racket in hand.
Oh, but I'm on your side. Now, listen, we have how many hosts at the station? We have 12-ish, maybe, right? It's me, it's Rick, it's Greeny, it's Bart and Han, it's Michael, Don, and Peter, and then it's you, it's Larry, it's Gordon, it's Anita, it's Ty, Pat O'Keefe, right? I think that's pretty much the entire rotation. You're telling me you do nights, right? That is you are locked into nights. That's your baby.
When there's no games, which is few and far between during the season, of course.
Yeah, but coming up soon, there's going to be a lot of Dan Grosse at night.
TBD, right? We hope it's not for a while, right? Because you want these teams winning some games.
I hope you just every night starting late June.
I hope the next show is in June.
But let's not bury the lead. You feel a way about this. Like, you think you're deserving of your own promo, and management has basically given you, for lack of a better term, the middle finger and said, no, you're not getting a promo.
People have asked me about it, and I didn't even know what they were talking about. I said, I have no idea what you mean. And then I, like, heard them played, and I'm like, oh, yeah, nobody ever.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this. Now, have you heard mine? Mine's awful.
I've heard the Barney Rubble thing or whatever.
Yeah. I'm a great sidekick. I'm the Ed McMahon. I'm the ho 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 ho.
That's a little bit of a slight on you, don't you think?
Here's my question to you. Would you rather management comes up with like an embarrassing belittling who you are and what you do, or would you rather, in fact, not have a promo?
They're almost identical, I think. Well, let me ask you this. Did you have any sort of, like, creative control over
it? No.
Nobody?
No.
Nothing?
No. And I know this for a fact. Yeah. There are hosts at the station where they walk on eggshells around. eggshell. I hope this promo's okay for this guy. Or they right. run it by other management. They call in. They have like meetings. There's teams of them, right? Hey, psst, is Johnny out there? Bring him in. Let him listen to this promo. Mine knows. Like, how can we embarrass him? And if he's upset
I
by it,
check
you know
the
what?
Roster and see who this Johnny guy is.
They don't care. They don't care. So would you rather they don't care about you or they ignore you?
Wasn't that the same thing? I mean, if you don't care about something, you're going to... Let me ask you a question, okay? Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Tonight, let me just see here. The Orioles are playing the White Sox.
Right.
Do you care about that game?
I would like to know who wins. I'd like to know if anybody does anything outside of the ordinary. Other than that, not really.
All right, let me use a better example. Maybe I'm getting nowhere with this. But I'll try anyway.
Well, here's the thing that you're losing here. I play
Arizona's
fantasy baseball.
Playing Miami.
I play fantasy baseball, and there's very little that all right,
how about this?
At all.
Better. Columbus is playing the Buffalo Sabres in a meaningless hockey game tonight.
Right.
How
do
dare you
care about that game? RJ,
well,
I'm sorry.
Because I have a dear friend who cares about that game. No, I don't care at all about
it. So you're
that
going
game.
To ignore the game, correct?
I will not ignore the game. I will still look to see who wins the game. I will look to see who scores goals in the game, and then I will be done with the game. My involvement in the game will be probably under 45 seconds.
I'm surprised you would even care the 45 seconds. So my point is, like you said, like ignore and care. If you don't care about something, you're going to ignore it. That's my point. That's what I'm getting
okay,
at.
So who's treated with more respect? Me for having a promo which makes me look like a buffoon, or you, who they're like, we don't even care enough about you to make a promo.
Oh, you, because you got the promo.
Like, I was like the eighth of eight to get the promo, by the way.
Right. But, well, I mean, if you feel that you were the eighth of eighth, but you got a promo. And look, by the way, I'm not losing any sleep that I don't have.
You
one.
Should. I mean, it's a big shot at you. I mean, you just signed a beautiful, fancy deal. You're now ensconced in a big part of the station, and they're saying...
Right, all those things, right. Like, I can separate A from B. You know what I mean? Like, I'm living a great life. I don't yearn for anything. So what do I have to be upset about?
You know what the problem is? You're too mature. You need to really...
You're right.
Don is as immature as anybody gets. Michael is a
No, I have my immature tendencies. But as far as... Look, you know this business, my friend. You've been at it longer than I have, right? There's bad people involved. Are there not?
So you're saying our management is bad?
No, they're dear friends. Dear. I've known them longer than you.
Well, you have, because didn't you intern at the station?
We all literally walked in the door basically within days of each other. We were at each other's weddings. We cut the cord at each other's the birth of our children or something.
Really?
No, I'm exaggerating on that one. That was maybe
I was going to say, Mike, like there really is a spat. And you still didn't get a promo?
Still in the right. That would have been even worse if we still didn't get the promo. No, but my point is you have to be able to separate these things or else it'll drive you crazy.
Yeah, well, I think you should be driven crazy by the lack of respect they show you. But that's just one man's opinion. Let's
you know go what? To here's my point.
Yes.
When you talk about respect, every Friday there's respect. You see my point?
Oh, when they give you your enormous paycheck.
Well, they don't literally like send, you know, deliver it to the house and knock on the door and hand me an envelope, but I'm okay.
Direct deposit. I see how it works. Good.
Wave of the future.
Good for you. Let's go to Breezy in the truck. Hi, Breezy. You're on 98.7.
Fellas, good morning. Dan, you know, I respect you and I'm a big fan of your work, but you drive me crazy, Dan.
Why?
Every time. First, you had my head exploding with the whole Aaron Rodgers thing. Now it's the whole negative with the Knicks.
Breezy, first of all, what's the Aaron Rodgers thing? And
what you kept
Knicks,
saying, he got four MVPs or whatever, like that meant something. But anyway, we talking about the Knicks right now.
Okay. Well, Breezy doesn't four.
Breezy,
and again, Breezy I don't have a dog in the fight
MVP,
here.
They give out MVPs like they're, you know, like detergent.
I'm not
samples.
Saying that. Only thing I'm saying was he won 13. All he had to do was win one other game to make it to the Super Bowl, and he never did it.
Well, let me ask you this, Dan. As we put Breezy, just hang on for a second. Are you sitting here saying that Aaron Rodgers has lived up to what he should have done, or are you just saying that he's won four MVPs?
All I'm saying is Aaron Rodgers is not going to never win another Super Bowl. So Dan and the rest of his group that keep thinking he's going to come to the Jets to win the Super Bowl, forget about it. It's not going to happen.
Breezy, you're probably right.
I never said that, first of all. And you know what? If it happens, it happens. If not, oh well. But when did I ever say that the Jets are winning a Super Bowl? I never have. You will never, ever, ever Dan. Find me saying that.
All right, but I don't want to talk about Aaron Rodgers, Dan.
Well, no, you can't say stupid things and then not expect to be called out from it. You're telling lies. You're embellishing.
I didn't say nothing stupid. You kept talking about the MVPs on your show every day. That wasn't
right.
me.
All right, Breezy. Let's make this free and breezy.
Get to the Knicks.
Breezy, get to the Knicks.
The only thing I want to say about the Knicks is that this is not the same New York Knicks team that went up against Atlanta 2 years ago. I mean, I don't see them.
But you're also missing your best player. You don't think that changes the equation, Breezy?
I understand that, but a lot of these, you know what, Julius Randle, if the Knicks go all the way to the championship, they can win the finals. They can win the whole thing.
I'm done. Thank you, Breezy.
Go wash your Knicks pajamas and take off your Knicks rose-colored glasses or whatever. There comes a point in people's lives, Dave, where I would think, even if you're, and I used to be this person, but a funny thing happened along the way. I passed the age of 12. So, you know, I was that guy in the sixth grade getting into arguments with my friends that the teams I rooted for were going to win every single game. But eventually you have to see the world for what it is and realize that's not going to happen. I mean, so Breezy goes from, you know, winning four MVPs means nothing in your respective field to the Knicks are going to not just beat the Cavs but go all the way to the NBA Finals and win the championship. Okay, that doesn't seem too unbiased to me. How about you?
Yeah, I think that was ridiculous, and I think he has an axe to grind with you, and I think because of it you probably deserve a promo.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
My wife had major knee surgery this week, so I'm taking care of everything in the house.
And how's the update with that, by the way?
It's a rough surgery, so she had complete ACL reconstruction, and she had a lateral meniscus cleanup as well. So it's a lot, and she's pretty tough, and she's been bedridden since Tuesday.
That's incredible.
Like, she gets up, maybe has like a piece of toast or something, will change clothes, and she feels like she's completely wiped out. It's tough.
And how are you in terms of growing into this assistant role, the Florence Nightingale, if you will?
I think day one I was elite, like five-star prospect. I think if you were calling the agency to have someone come over and tend to
McDonald's All-American.
Yes, I think so. Elite. Day two, like on the fringe between a five-star and a four-star. Still, I mean, you want that on your team.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And yesterday I was probably a three-star. Like I could have played at Coastal Carolina. Like I was not great because I just want to help, and she doesn't want help, and I find that to be frustrating.
You know what it sounds like to me?
What?
The way this is kind of deteriorating over the last few days, by tomorrow we're going to be talking about a player who's in the transfer portal.
No, I don't think so. I can't leave this woman, and she can't leave me. But I did learn, this is actually a funny story.
Yeah.
She walked me, as she's in the bed, she's screaming out laundry instructions. And I felt like such a baby. Because she's like,
Dave,
there's a power button on the left. Press the power button.
And Dave, like, don't eat the Tide Pods.
Yeah, Dave. I said, there's no power button on this machine. She's like, yes, you idiot. Look, there's a power button. Now, we had this.
I don't know how to do laundry.
But I did. How about this? I stopped a full, what do they call it? A load in progress. I opened the machine.
Say that one again.
Nope. Transferred it into the dryer. And started that whole cycle. So I got that going. And then I called out to her, why does the machine say there's a cycle for anti-Semitic? And she says, what? I said, forget it. It's anti-static.
I was going to say anti-Semitic. I didn't know that laundry machines were discriminatory in any way.
Yeah, because I couldn't see it that well. It's very little. I said, why does it say anti-Semitic? And she's like, what?
Imagine that, like, you start calling, like, the places where you buy, like, your machinery and stuff. You're like, you sold me an anti-Semitic washer and dryer. You know? I thought I was buying a non-denominational one.
No, very anti-Semitic. Yeah. And I was like, no, forget it. It's anti-static. We're good.
Anti-Semitic.
We're good. We're good. There's a lot of little lettering and buttons and knobs. And I might do a full load of laundry today.
I just actually, you know, we bought a racist refrigerator last week, as a matter of fact.
our freezer hates, you know, I'm not even going to say anything, but yeah. Hates.
Like Mad Libs, just leave the line blank and you can fill it in
exactly
whichever way you want. Yeah.
So, exactly. Listen, and then how about this, Dan? You want another life update or do you not want it? You tell me.
I'm enjoying this. We're here.
Oh, you're enjoying my misery. So yeah. Last night, I said, Ben, what's going on with your face?
Oh, no.
I have poison ivy. The poison ivy goes from 0 to 100 in about 2 hours.
Wait, time out.
Yeah.
This is a whole other conversation.
So I say, I'll let you ask your questions in a moment. I say at 9:30 last night, you know, 9:30 for us is like midnight for other people. I said, do I have to take you to urgent care? The kid could have a stroke and be dribbling tea out of his jawline. And I'd say, is something wrong? He'd be like, no, nothing's wrong. So, go ahead. What's your questions?
Ben is how old now?
16.
Oh, 16. Ben, what's wrong with your face? He says, I have poison ivy. Did he self-diagnose himself with poison ivy?
Okay.
And where have you been? Did you didn't know for however many days that he had the poison ivy?
I'll tell you. Okay. Here's the thing.
Okay.
He is susceptible to poison ivy. We have gone to urgent care numerous times in the past because he gets poison ivy.
Does he play with leaves a lot in bushes? does he lose the ball in the bushes a lot? Like, what is somebody doing rummaging around poison ivy?
He plays baseball, and I was thinking maybe a ball went into a bush, and he took it out. But then I thought maybe
where's the baseball field?
Maybe it was the dogs that could get it on them, and then he plays with the dogs and hugs the dogs. Why are you judging a 16-year-old who has poison ivy? The hell's the matter with you?
You know what I never understood as a kid? You heard like somebody, oh, he's got poison ivy. He's got poison. What's the difference between poison ivy and poison oak?
Forget it. Rick is like the llama compared to you. The child is suffering from a debilitating case of poison ivy where I think urgent care might have to be involved. And you're like, you turn it to Seinfeld. What's the difference between poison ivy?
What's the deal
and poison
with poison
oak?
Ivy and poison oak?
You know who I'd like to talk to? Because you're frustrating me here at the moment. Omar in Brooklyn. Good morning, Omar. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
How are you? Good morning, guys.
Hello, Omar.
I'm in a good mood. I have two or three, as you guys are both tennis fans. So let me skip a small question to you guys. John McEnroe, Jimmy Connors, or Boris Becker? Take one of them.
McEnroe, Connors, Beck, clearly not Becker.
Yeah. Is Becker out, by the way?
That's not an American thing. You don't have to do the American thing here. Honestly, if both of them...
Well, you said choose one.
Career, who is winning that?
At his best, McEnroe wins. When he was at his best, he was better than the other two.
McEnroe never won a French.
But he led two sets to love.
I know. That was a tough one.
Did Connors win a frown?
Becker won Wimbledon at 17, for crying out loud.
There's no way that when you look back at the career that you would say that Boris Becker was better than John McEnroe.
No. And Jimmy Connors was the ultimate grinder. The guy won more ATP titles than anybody in the history of the men's game.
Jimmy Connors is like Josh Hart, and McEnroe was like Julius Randle. And I think... the Becker is not in the team right now. So that's what it is. Now, let's go to our next. Here it is. Everybody talks about the paint of Cleveland Cavaliers. They have Mobley and Allen. I will take Mitch Robinson over Allen every day, every night, every minute, every second. At the peak of his career, Mitchell Robinson is far more dominating than Allen ever can be. Secondly, and he's more impactful defensively than Allen ever will be. Secondly, if Julius Randle is not 100% what we are rumoring, nobody knows yet, but I want tomorrow. I am telling you right now, I want, it's not that fluke. I just watched with my son and daughter yesterday in the theater, Mario Brothers. And I'm telling you, RJ better get a lot of heat from the Knicks negative fans. Negative fans, RJ Barrett. Wait,
hang on, Omar, hang on a second. I don't understand. You went to the theater to see Mario Brothers?
Yeah, I'm trying to get the connection.
What are we doing here, Omar?
I went to the theater with my kids.
Right. No, I got
to see
that.
Mario Brothers. Okay.
But why?
I'm connecting that only. I'm
Omar, I trimmed my toenails last night.
Movie?
I trimmed my toenails last night. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to say that, like, RJ Barrett get a very negative tone that he has not raised up to the level because I think, personally, because of Julius Randle controlling the ball all the time, and whenever RJ Barrett comes on the second unit, if RJ Barrett gets the ball, tomorrow Julius Randle is not here, I want to see the first possession going to RJ Barrett. With the Bruns, and let me see what RJ Barrett can do against Mobley and this, because RJ Barrett with the ball in his hand is more athletic than Mobley, that he can pass him with a dribble, and if Donovan Mitchell is guarding him, he can post him up. So I want to see RJ Barrett tomorrow. I think RJ Barrett is arriving. RJ Barrett is arriving in this series, and the Knicks fan that have been negative about RJ Barrett series, he will be the X factor in this series because he has heard it from everybody. He has told you from last week, I'm looking for this series. He is motivated. He will show up tomorrow night, and he will be the X factor. RJ Barrett.
I'll tell you what. Thank you for the call. And you know what? I'm glad, Dan, that it didn't lead to him just screaming about stuff.
Right, he was pretty calm.
I did find the fact that he's like, I went to the theater with my kid to see Mario Brothers yesterday. Quite the strange turn of events. However, if RJ Barrett proves his worth in this series, it would change so much with this organization and player individually.
It rewrites the narrative from last summer, does it not?
I think it changes everything.
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 Because he was the guy they didn't want to give up. And then they doubled down because the day that the Cavs announced the trade that they got Donovan Mitchell, the Knicks said, well, we signed RJ Barrett to a 4-year extension. So, ha! Changes everything.
Yeah. Could not agree with you anymore. All right. Let's take a moment here. 1-800-919-3776. Now, you were here last week for the morning roast, right?
That's correct.
Okay. I did not hear it. How do you feel that the roast went?
I think it was okay, right, guys? I don't think that there was anything like super out of the ordinary, right?
If I recall correctly, a caller stole your roast and you were very angry.
Oh, yeah. It's never good also when your first reaction is, it's like, oh, you went on a date with Jen. How'd it go?
Which one did they steal? And I can't even remember what it was.
I think it was Mets related. Can't recall
probably
what it was exactly.
So the whole thing was unmemorable is where we're.
So you don't remember anything about the roast whatsoever.
So we failed you. I feel bad now.
So let's just be honest here. The roast sucked last week. Is that fair?
Sucked is a strong word.
We failed.
I took joy and pleasure from it, I think. But I as far as an impact, there you go. Left a little to be desired, probably, if I can't even remember what it was.
Remember. And do you... Okay.
But it was a positive experience.
Do you remember mm-hmm. anybody's roast from last week?
Dave, here's the funny thing about me, and you'll learn this moving forward. I could remember probably something that happened in a football game in 1991. I could probably remember what I had for breakfast, 20 years ago on a certain day. I can't remember what I did 10 hours ago.
Okay. So it not being memorable or
I hear this all the time from my wife. You could remember everything that happens in such and such game, but when I told you yesterday that you have to go pick up this, this, and this, I have no recollection.
I could not agree with you more. All right, so let's play the open, and then we'll explain the morning roast.
This is why I'm hot.
Is the morning roast.
Top of the morning, top of the morning. All right, here's how it works, Dan, and I know you remember the way that we go about the morning roast, and that is there's got to be something that has you feeling in a certain way. You're
Absolutely.
Annoyed, You're angry. You want to just alleviate something from your chest. Well, now's your opportunity to do that. 1-800-919-3776. Are you annoyed at the Jets because this is taking so long? The Packers because they're making it take so long? Well, wherever it is that you want to or need to roast, 1-800-919-3776. For example, Dan, I had a terrific roast, and I think that you'll stand by me a few weeks ago, although the guys on the show I don't think did stand in solidarity. I was livid because the day before I went out to lunch with a buddy and I got a soda, and then I said I'd like a refill of the soda. No free refills.
No free refills.
No.
What place was this?
I'm not going to name names because I'm not.
Is it a franchise?
He refuses. No. He's angry, but he refuses to name the place.
Well, because I love the place and I want to go back.
So you went out to lunch with a buddy.
Yep.
This is not like a chain restaurant.
Well, there are multiples of this place, but it's not like a chain restaurant.
I know. I think I know the type of place you're referring to. You wanted a free refill of a soft drink, which I thought was standard procedure.
Yes.
And it wasn't the case.
It sounds to me like the not free refill was worth it for you, though, because you say you love the place, and you want to go back.
And
so it sounds like it was worth it.
But it's not the point. It's the principle is what they didn't understand as well. I would feel better paying $3 for one soda than $1.50 and have to pay it twice.
$1.50. This is what we're getting worked up over, though. $1.50.
No.
See? Okay,
see, you're on their mindset. You guys are simple. I don't understand how this doesn't frustrate you. It's not about the money. It's about the principle. The refill for a soda should be free.
You sound like the Joker right now. It's not about the money.
Forget it. You understand the roast.
Well, can I say this, though? In the end, you might have actually won this whole thing because less soda for you, the person, health-wise, is actually going to be better for you in the very end.
Yeah, but in the end, I lost doubly because I got the second soda and paid for it as well.
So you did. You lost.
I wanted another soda.
Well, what about your friend?
What about him?
Did he refill the soda as well?
I don't remember what he did, but he was equally as upset as I.
So, and what you're telling me is you love the place so much. Well, love is maybe a strong word.
I love the place.
That even the refill, the fact that you had to pay for it, is not going to be a deal breaker, which is going to bring you back to the place.
I will go there forever. Unless they serve me a finger in my food, I will go back there until my last breath.
What if it's the finger of somebody you know?
Well, I don't. This is becoming awkward. All right, 1-800-919-3776. Raymond, I feel like you're always a roast afterthought. I don't want that to be the case. Why don't you roast away?
Sure, why not? So, you've heard me roast people who complain about baseball games going too fast. And I hate to revisit an argument, but I'm going to do that here. So what's one of the biggest complaints that you guys have seen in regards to, the game is too fast right now, when people go to the ballpark specifically?
I don't get to get my food and get back in a timely manner is a big complaint.
Okay, in a similar vein, a lot of people complain that the game goes by too fast, and, you know, you have the cutoffs for when alcohol is being served, usually, the seventh inning, more or less?
Yeah.
So at least four teams in the league right now are kind of trying to combat that. The Diamondbacks, the Rangers, the Twins, and the Brewers. They're all extending alcohol sales through the eighth inning. The Marlins, the Mets, you know, they haven't ruled out changes. It could happen. So here's the thing. And I understand we want to go to the ballpark and we want to have a good time. And, you know, sometimes that involves drinking. I don't understand why it's such a big complaint to the seventh inning that you got to go one more inning. Which, again, they're going by pretty fast as it is. Whatever. Why is it such a priority to get, for some people, not all people, some people, to get hammered at the ballpark?
It is, because it's their, maybe they don't get a lot of time away from their spouse, and this is a chance to let loose. And I don't really drink at all, and I never drink at a game because it affects my ability to really concentrate on the game, so I don't understand it, but I'm giving their rationale. I think it's their way to let loose, and they want to drink.
It's an indication that you might have a problem, because then, you know, like, what happens when you have too much alcohol? Well, you do stupid things. Did you see what happened in Colorado this week?
Oh, no, what happened?
This simple gentleman, to use one of Dave's terms, attacked Dinger, the Rockies mascot. Like, he was dancing on top of the dugout, and this drunk man just...
The first time Dinger was in the news, by the way.
Oh, boy. this drunk man jumped on top of the dugout and tried to tackle him. Now, to Dinger's credit, he was able to fight him off, but the man got away. And
they weren't able to get the guy?
I'm reading a crime alert right now. I'm looking right at it. The Denver police have a $2,000 reward out for this man who committed
this.
You're
in an enclosed park where you have to leave through one of the exits, and they couldn't apprehend the guy before he escaped?
You know what?
That's like when a squirrel runs on the field, and he goes through one of the little cracks and escapes. Like, but a human being?
It's really impressive, though, because, like, they got a very clear shot of this man, and he's holding a bear at the ballpark. Like, they know what he looks like. It's not like one of those pixelated, like, the security cameras on the corner of 57th and West End Avenue. Like, you got a clear shot of this guy, and Denver police still don't have him. But, again, this is what happens when you have a little too much fun at the ballpark. And I know he was drunk because the guy's holding a Modelo in his hand right in this picture. So he's gone.
That's a good roast.
This is an example. Like, have fun at the ballpark. Know your limitations. Don't be an animal.
I got one on Twitter, which is troubling, to say the least. From Isles Mets Jets fans. He said, I have a roast. I want to roast Kenny Albert.
Uh-oh.
All right, Kenny, thanking everyone on the broadcast last night, said Ray Santiago doesn't sleep because he does Knicks and Rangers and then the morning show with Canty, DiPietro, and Rothenberg.
Yes, he did do that, and I did have to correct him. Like, to Kenny's credit, he looked at me when he said Canty, so I think he knew he knew that he was wrong and Chris is not
Kenny
on the
said,
show
what
anymore.
The hell? I'm throwing it out there.
I mean, is he living in 2021? I mean, come on.
I was hoping somebody wouldn't catch that, but yeah, that did happen.
Apparently, somebody caught it. All right, let's go to Anthony in the mail truck. Anthony, you're on the morning roast.
Dan, David, good morning, fellas. How we doing?
Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, Anthony.
Big shout out to the company. So my roast is a little self-centered, and I feel like that's what the roast is all about. So it really gets me angry, for a lack of a better terms, where I let someone cross the street, or I hold the door for someone, or, you know, whatever the case may be, do something nice for someone. I don't need you to bow down and praise me. I just need, like, a little head nod or, hey, I noticed you did something for me while, you know, you were doing something else, and I appreciate you. For the people that just walk across the street while I, you know, let you cross, you know, it's happened to me multiple times this week. It gets me so angry that no one can be nice anymore. It makes no sense. What is this world coming to?
Well, the world is completely, and thanks to the call and the roast, Anthony, completely falling apart. And secondarily, I agree with you. Like, I get to a stop sign first, and it's my right away, but I'm a nice guy, and I say, you know, you go ahead. I want the wave.
I go out of my way to provide the wave. If somebody's going to let me go on the road, I almost stop traffic.
Yeah.
Like, actually, like, maybe jump up through the sunroof and wave to the
hand out there. In fact,
the hand, the arm, maybe like a gesture, like I'm some air traffic controller.
Yes.
Like, you have to acknowledge the wave, and I want the other person to see it. I'll, like, stop dead in my tracks and thank you, mouth it as well.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. In fact, my kids were laughing at me a couple weeks ago. I was making a left across traffic, and as the gentleman was letting me go, I gave him the wave. Then I gave him a second wave, and they said, why would you wave again? I said, just because I want him to know that I appreciate him letting me go.
Right.
That's why. On the heels of that, I'll go. And here's my roast. So we were in Florida. You filled in for me last week. We were in Florida.
Correct.
And we flew back on Thursday. Now, have you flown lately? I haven't flown in quite a while. Have you flown in the last year?
I haven't flown since COVID, believe it or not.
Wow. Yeah, no, that was my first flight since before COVID as well. So the planes, the seating, there's almost no room, right? You literally, it's like you're a sardine sitting there in your seat.
Mm.
But that didn't stop the lady in front of me from pushing that recline button right into my lap. Now, I finally tapped her on the shoulder. I said, excuse me, could you do me a fit? Could you move up? She looked at me like I had three heads, Dan. She's like, I'm reclining. I said, I know you're reclining. That's why I'm asking if maybe you could move up. She goes, why would they make the chairs reclinable if I wasn't supposed to recline? I said, you're not supposed to recline. It's an option. It's rude. And I said, let me ask you this, madam. Am I reclining?
Did you call her madam, by the way?
Yes, I did, because I find that that probably annoyed her. I said, excuse me, madam. I said, am I reclining into the lap of the person behind me? You know what her response was? Well, you should. And I said, well, I won't do that. And I couldn't believe it. How do RJ, you fly a lot. How do you feel about the recliner into your lap?
Not great, but it's not. I heard Canteen Carlin filling in for Green talking about this yesterday. Not as bad as the armrest warriors. And I heard Carlin say this, and I think it's right. It's an act of war to take. If you are not in the middle seat and you take both armrests, it's an act of war, and I agree with him.
Couldn't agree more with that. But real quick,
I'm still hung up on the madam thing, though.
I think it's one thing.
Honestly, Dave, I've been here for a few minutes. I don't think I've ever called another human being madam in my entire
existence on planet Earth. You know why I do it? Because I find that women don't like it. And I
they shouldn't. Oh, right, but so I don't even think it's in my like periphery to even like
That's the genius that is me. I knew it's disrespectful, but it's not. Technically, it's not. There's nothing disrespectful about it, but it's not what people would want to be called. Thusly, by calling her madam, I've infuriated her without technically really doing anything wrong.
It's respectfully disrespectful.
Exactly.
Right. I would think the only madam that you would possibly throw at somebody, you would have to be minimum 70 or up.
Or Heidi Fleiss.
I thought there were limitations, by the way, Dave, on how far back those things could recline.
Yeah, but she went all the way back. Like, as far back as that thing was going, she was going. She went so far back that my personal television, I couldn't even see the top of it.
All up on your knees.
All up on my knees. But then you know what I did? I made sure when I went to the bathroom, I was jostling and, you know, hitting into her seat best I could.
How did that play out for you?
With intent.
And this was, about a three and a half hour flight?
Not even. It was like 2.5 hours. She was glaring at me. But you know what? How dare you?
Any dialogue at all when the plane landed? Nothing? Awkward, like you have to stay in your seat or get your... Nothing.
Nothing. No. Although she wouldn't let me go out in front of her. And I was like, my wife has a torn ACL and can't walk. And she's like, fine. Fine.
Well, she might have been more understanding if you threw... She has the ACL and, what did you say, an MCL too? Or
We didn't know about the lateral meniscus until the
lateral
surgery.
Meniscus. If you threw the lateral meniscus, she might have saw things differently. Like, okay, now you said lateral meniscus.
Well, you didn't
meniscus.
Say there was a lateral involved. Yeah. Well, then go on ahead. Yeah. By the way, you're listening to DPH on Rothenberg, 98.70 ESPN, WEPN-FM, New York. All right, Grasa. Let's see what you bring to the table here.
I don't know if this was... How about this? It's not vitriol and anger like you had with the madam on the plane.
Right.
But this actually happened to me 24 hours ago, and it's a little out of the ordinary, and, you know, it's not something that you would want to have happen in the whole customer service industry. You know, like you got very upset about your lack of a free refill or one that you had to pay for. So yesterday, I had some time to kill, but I'd been putting it off. I needed to get my oil changed in the car. Okay. Pick up the phone, call, make, you know, and they said, yeah, you could bring it in around 4 o'clock. Okay, great. So I drive up. Place that I go to frequently. The same place. Never any issues before. That's why I keep coming back.
Uh-oh.
So they get the car in, do the thing, and you know, like when they pop it in and then it's got to go up on the lever to go up high so they can get under and do everything they got to do. Now, mind you, when you get the oil change at this place, they also do the tire rotation, which is important for the car, right? You got to keep those fresh. So they finish up, and I'm sitting there watching, and I'm saying to myself, boy, this kind of went a little bit faster than it usually does. And I had to ask the person there, did they rotate the tires by any chance? I said, hold on, I'll ask. They asked. His answer was, and they said, put it back in, rotate the tires. So then we had to wait for that. They have to
try to. You think they're trying to pull a fast one on you?
It's not that they're trying to pull a fast one. Let me get to this, okay? So then he puts it back in, does the tires, blah, blah, blah. Another 20 minutes later, bim, bam, boom. Then we're finally done. Thank you. All is right with the world. Goodbye. So get in the car. Get in the car. I notice, A, one of his used gloves, latex gloves, that I guess was used to operate on the car, was in my little, one of my cup holders in between the seats there. Left that, used. I noticed that there are grease marks, one on my little thing in between the seats and also on the door handle. I could see that as well. You know, also, that how do you measure when you need an oil change? You get that little sticker that they put on the windshield.
I love that sticker.
Love the sticker.
I feel like I've accomplished so much when I get the sticker. Next oil change, 3,000 miles.
Thank you. No sticker.
Ugh.
So what do? I got a used glove. I've got grease marks. God knows what germs and stuff are on the wheel. I go in my little compartment. I pull out a napkin that I have.
Oh, no.
I'm sitting there with the napkin, and I put it over the gear shift to get the car going. Then I put it over the steering wheel just so I can get out of the parking lot and pull over to the side of the road to then get out some Clorox wipes and wipe this sucker down hand and foot. Then I got to make a notation as to what mileage I have so I could put it in my phone, because that is now I'm going to have to measure when I should get my next oil change.
Right.
And I still had to find a way to remove the disgusting used glove, which was left in the car.
Now, let me just ask you this, though. Yeah. I'm with you every step of the way. Mm-hmm. What do you mean, find a way? You couldn't pick it up by the nubs and just kind of throw it into the garbage?
No, it's called find a way without actually touching it with my own fingers.
Oh, come on. First of all, you said you had a napkin or a tissue.
No,
or
and that's what I ended up doing. I took the Clorox wipe and the napkin and I, you know, kind of went at it full scale, boom, grabbed it and put it in a heap, threw it to the side. So that was my afternoon yesterday.
Wow.
And you know what? You could say, well, you know, do you want any sort of restitution? Do you want to go back and get somebody? No, I'm not going
to
do that.
Are you going to go back to this place? That's my question.
TBD. They also said that the person who was doing the work on the car, first week on the job.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't want to ruin some. I mean, how do I know? You know, maybe he's been down on his luck. I'm actually going to be a nice guy here. I'm not going to try to get him fired. So I said nothing. But I'm saying something now on the radio.
Which I'm sure they're listening, and now this poor guy, first week on the job, out on the
street.
Out on the street. All right, now, let's move right along. Let's go to Shaq in OKC. Shaq, I don't think this is Shaquille O'Neal, in case you thought it might be. Good morning, Shaq.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Dan. No, this is like my third or fourth time calling.
Oh, I know. We're big fans. We're big fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And by the way, that roast at the caller stole from Dan was about the big patch on the Mets uniform.
Oh, that what an awful eyesore that thing was, huh?
You could see it from outer space.
Yeah.
And my roast is also Mets related. I wanted to roast Billy Epler. And what I wanted to say basically is, you know, I wanted to start with the Angels. So you had Ohtani, you had Trout, and couldn't make the playoffs. You had a starting point of two of the best players in baseball, and one of them is an elite two-way player, and you still couldn't put together a winning team. Now you come to the Mets, and essentially you're running the team with all the sliders off, financial sliders, you know, that's like a video game reference, but all the sliders off, and the team is still full of more holes than SpongeBob. If Gerry Cohen wants to turn the Mets into the Dodgers of the East, why not hire an up-and-coming front office executive from the Dodgers? If Billy has another deadline like last year, and the holes on the team rear their ugly heads in the postseason, and Ohtani goes to the Dodgers because you decided to give your third pitcher in your rotation a no-trade clause, Billy boy, you should be fired on the spot. You have an unlimited payroll. Do better.
I will say this, and I think Shaq is right on. I said earlier in the week, Dan, I think if there was ever a bloom on the rose of Billy Epler, it is gone.
Oh, 100%.
Gone.
1,000%. You mean to – look, I know Steve Cohen. We're still trying to figure him out as an owner. We really don't know about him, but all I know is – that if I was the run cutting a $385 million check and I was coming up short again, let's say, if it happens a second time around, don't you think somebody's going to have to maybe answer to it? Answer for that?
I mean, look at how many holes they have. I mean, Escobar is a gaping hole now. DH is they might have the worst DH situation in all of baseball right now. I mean, there are legitimate holes on this team.
Well, that's what, for $385 million, you should not have that many holes.
No, of course you should not. I mean, Escobar, awful free agent signing. Canna, at best, mediocre free agent signing.
Yeah, but
right?
He goes to exotic restaurants, they like him.
The trade deadline last year was a catastrophic failure. Where'd the music go?
You know, I've used it twice, and it ran out the second time.
Well, are we in a rush? Are we going somewhere?
No.
All right.
It may have been dragging a little bit.
Oh, are we dragging for you now?
Cue the orchestra.
Sorry. Let's move right along. RJ, do you have a roast you'd like to give?
I do. So typically,
don't make it drag. Santiago will take the music away from you.
Yeah. Listen,
I didn't realize that would anger you. So
I think part of this segment is made from the music is terrific.
It was a critique he had.
Johnny Burrito has been so great.
Not Johnny Burrito, although he would be a good roast for today.
You know, no. Did you go back and listen to the audio,
Johnny Burrito?
No, when I. You're taking it completely out of context. I said Aaron Judge is on the pregame show saying Johnny Burrito has been so great, which is what he said. They call him Johnny Burrito.
Where's my burrito?
All I hear is
Johnny Burrito has been so great. Forget. You see, Dan, this is what they do.
By the way, speaking of the Yankees real quick, it was great to see Paul O'Neill in the flesh at Yankee Stadium
last
night.
It was.
But I do miss the basement. I do miss the basement. I was actually hoping last year when they retired his number, like they'd retire the number in the basement. Like it would be hanging up on the wall behind him or something.
Interesting that he was allowed back in the stadium for the retirement of the jersey ceremony, but not to do the game.
But he couldn't go near any of the players, though. God forbid, couldn't go near any of them. But remember, out in the bullpen, and he had to come in the golf cart where there were no players within like 500 miles.
Very, very, very strange. All right, RJ, continue.
So typically, when you no-hit another team, you probably feel you're in great position to win the baseball game.
Yes.
Not so. If you're and I love minor league baseball, Rocket City Trash Pandas, who are a real thing.
Trash Pandas?
Double-A affiliate of the Angels. Not only did they throw a no-hitter and lose, they gave up 7 runs and lost while no-hitting their opponent.
You know, the Yankees, I remember watching the game. I think it might have been 89, Dan. I bet you remember this. They were in Chicago playing the White Sox.
Andy Hawkins.
Threw a no-hitter, and they lost 4-0 in that game.
They lost to the Chattanooga Lookouts, and they gave up all the runs in one inning.
All on errors?
Did the Trash Panda. No, I can actually read you how it went.
Please do. And we hope to not upset or bore Santiago.
Well, I'll just summarize it for you. There were 5 walks, 4 hit batters, 1 error, and a wild pitch to go along with the 3 outs.
I'm surprised the PETA folks don't protest outside of the stadium because, you know,
the trash pandas,
yeah, they're like not treated well or something like that.
Why would you assume they're not treated well?
Oh, because they're trash pandas.
Maybe they just
Who wants to be in the trash?
Maybe they live there.
Maybe the panda is known for doing trash diving.
No,
do you know what a trash panda is?
The trash panda is not a habitat for a panda.
Do you know what a trash panda is?
No. Is it a raccoon?
Correct.
Oh. So why not just call them the raccoons?
Yeah, just call them the raccoons.
I don't control these things. All I can control,
boy, these kids these days, let me tell you,
is you give up 7 runs in a no-hitter, you deserve to be in this space.
What happened to the pizza rats? Are they still around? Remember that? Didn't they have that?
It's the Staten Island Yankees. Yeah, they're gone.
They were the Staten Island pizza rats?
For a game they were,
you know, minor league teams have those promos.
Yeah, like 5 or 6 years ago. But yeah, I think they got contracted, sadly.
RJ, do we take one more or do we call it a roast?
I would say if you're going to take one, that would be one Tyler.
Tyler in the car. Finish up your gorgeous roast, Tyler. Go ahead.
What's going on, guys? Good morning. I just wanted to roast the NHL playoff format, okay? What are we doing here? Why is the seeding the way that it is? Why are the Rangers and the Devils going up against each other? And a quick side roast. Florida, what are you doing? You could have had Luke Hughes have the division on his stick, first goal. We could have won the division. You could have won one lousy game. Pathetic. I hate the NHL playoff format. I hope they change it. I know they won't, but I hope they change it.
They're going to have to at some point.
In the next 3 years.
They're going to have to at some point. Thanks for the call. That, by the way, is a good roast. Really,
you know
good.
Why they do it, right, Dave?
To keep it geographical?
No, they do it because the NHL was like the kid in the corner that they wouldn't allow to play with the games. You know, like Rudolph, you know, wouldn't let him play any of his reindeer right. games because the NHL, unlike the other sports, didn't have a bracket format. They think that the brackets are all the rage and everybody gets to see. Do you notice how the NHL is pushing this whole bracket? Fill out your bracket. Go to NHL.com. Fill out your bracket. That's why. Now you have
but
a bracket
I
format.
Mean, Dan, I understand what you said. It makes zero sense.
But I agree with you. I agree with you. It makes no sense. And they shouldn't
I mean,
be doing
you could,
it, but that's
you
why.
Could have the, you could have the best team in a conference take on the second best team in a conference in the second round.
Correct.
Well, it makes no sense. Shouldn't the top-seeded team?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.